You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
Bottom line is always, and we know that it's true, is there a word from God? And there is. So if you would stand on your feet, we're going to look at Psalm 27. And I am reading from the NIV translation, NIV 84 translation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. The war break out against me, even then will I be confident. Drop down to verse 13. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Amen. Like to speak to you today for just a little bit from the subject of even then will I be confident. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I bow before you this morning. We come together in unity, seeking your face, asking you, O holy and righteous God, to have your way today. Father, we come and ask that you would get rid of anything that might be moving in us that is not of you. Search us, Lord, and know our hearts. Test us and know our anxious thought. And if there's anything there that is not of you, we ask that you'll wash it right now, Lord. Because we come here hungry for the word. And Father, we don't want no distractions. We want to behold your face, Lord, as you speak to our hearts. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask personally that there be none a pet up in here, but that the same spirit that done sang this morning and done the sound this morning and took care of the ushers this morning would take care of me and preach through me, none of me and all of you, in the very name of Jesus. Father, you tell us in your word that he who has an ear, let him hear. But Father, we so know that we can't have that spiritual ear open unless you do it. So Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us right now. I ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth and that the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. We say, speak, Lord, speak. And as you do, we're going to be careful to give you the glory and give you the praise. We're going to start right where we started singing right before this sermon, Lord. We're going to give you the glory and we're going to give you the praise. It's in Jesus' great name, that name that is sweeter than any other we know. We pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. You may be seated. Even then will I be confident. Deacon and I greet you again in this new year and always in the name of Jesus. And so I'd like to begin, as I usually do, by asking a question. Anybody in here making any New Year's resolutions? Okay. Anybody resolve to eat better in the new year? Lose a few pounds? Find a new job? Save a little more money? Take that trip you always wanted to go on? Well, let me just encourage you that all things are possible when we look Godward and trust in him. Amen. I pray you will ask God to strengthen you in all he has called you to do. Amen. But let me just share that over my lifetime, especially in my earlier years, I probably resolved to do each and every one of those things and failed at them more than once. Amen. And most likely I was looking to myself instead of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, yeah. Well, may I share that God has given me greater success and life change for in the new year when he encouraged me to move from making resolutions. And I'm not saying that you do. I'm just telling you that you need to. I'm just telling you what my experience is. He encouraged me to move from making resolutions to having a word for the year. And if you're not familiar with that, you can just Google it. But, you know, we want to Google after God speaking, right? Yeah, yeah. So what he did for believers, we asked God to reveal to us a single word that we keep focusing on and coming back to as we walk throughout walk out life in this new year. And since we're believers, we just, because you, when you Google it, you'll find that the world does this as well. But see, we believers. Our word got to be rooted in, there you go. And so since we're children of God, we don't just ask for a word. We ask for a corresponding scripture passage that we remember and hide in our hearts that aligns with that word. So we have a word and a voice, a verse that we have hidden in our hearts. And as we seek God to lead and guide us in this new year, that strengthens and stirs our faith as we walk out life. I can remember some years ago, God gave me the same word and passage for 2 years in a row. And that word was fixed. The Bible verse that anchored this word is in Hebrews 12:2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to tell you that there's so much stuff going on in my life. I was in the work world then, right? Y'all know about the stuff and the struggle being real, don't you? I can't begin to number the times that God just simply whispered to my heart, fix, reminding me to fix my eyes on Jesus and not my circumstances, to fix my eyes on Jesus, not my trials and trips, to fix my eyes on Jesus and not the news, not the hurt, not the pain, but fix and focus my heart and mind on him, the one who holds me and the whole world in his hand. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He was whispering to me, I got this. It was enough to remind me who I belong to, his love, his care, his promises, and his faithfulness to his children, no matter what. Enough for me to hear the Lord, my Father, speaking to me as he did to Israel. See, I have your name engraved in the palms of my hand. Your walls are ever before me. It was enough to stir my faith in the only living and true God time and time again. That God himself is my provider and my protector, my source for all things life. Yeah, I know that is true. Hallelujah. That to stir me to remember that he is the Almighty God and he is trustworthy and he is reliable, the one who abounds in sufficient grace, who never ever fails. Hallelujah. Now, I'm telling you my story, but I also want to tell you that our God is no respecter of persons. He is all this for not only me, but for all who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Do you know him? Because as Mahalia Jackson says, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Amen? Now, as we look at Psalm 27, which is one of my favorite psalms, sometimes life get hard, I go to sleep reciting these first couple of verses. It was written by David, and some commentators believe that he most likely wrote it when he was in exile, being hunted down by King Saul and his men. Now, just a brief cursory rundown through Psalm 27 tells us that David had some real stuff going on. He uses words like evil men, devour, enemies, foes, army besieging me, war breaking out against me. And I am thinking that he would hurry up and agree with Eliphaz, one of Job's friends, who said in Job 5:7, yet man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. And I've shared with you before that Smith and some of the others that walk around this with us within this body can give firsthand testimony from working in the steel mill. Sparks surely do fly upward. So yeah, trouble can be all in our way. Times when we're truly experiencing, you know, we say it all the time, but I'm telling you, let life come at you. We know for real that the struggle is real. There's times when life presses in, it be flying all over the place and through our lives, causing us to surely come to realize that what Eliphaz said is true. We know personally what he's talking about. So yeah, that's what David's got going on. David got troubled so much. He's facing such great danger. And yet this psalm leads me to believe that if David was to choose a one word aligned with scripture for this year, it would be confident. We see him use the word confident in verse 3. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. The war break out against me, even then I will be confident. ... Drop to 13, and he said, I'm still confident of this. And them dots is all that he's got going on. He said, but I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David teaches us not to allow the trouble, the danger, the trials, and the trips to obscure our view of God. You see, in this thing called life, we have so many contrasts. Ain't it right? Life can be up and down. We be singing one minute. Joy, joy. And then eyes full of tears the next. One day, one minute, we'll full of that joy, and the next we're downcast. Some of us have lived long enough to understand that life can change on a dime, that it has many ebbs and flows. Well, God will use Psalm 27 this morning to encourage and instruct us in how to walk with spiritual balance. Anybody ever tell you, you need some balance in your life? Now, what we need is spiritual balance. How to remain steadfast and unmovable as we sojourn down here to this side of glory. We ain't to glory yet. And Jesus told us that in this world you're going to have trouble. Jesus ain't never lied. But he also told us that we could take cheer because he has overcome the world. Amen? Now, I know y'all getting nervous, so yeah, we won't have time to go through all the verses today. But what we see in this psalm is David having three conversations in the face of trouble, danger, disappointment, and confusion. I put that word confusion in that because, you know, David wasn't king yet. I'm sure it confused this young boy. What in the world is wrong with Saul? Why is he treating me like that? You ever had life be like that to you? Just don't understand where it came from, what's going on. Yeah, so David had it all going on, this thing called life. We found the first conversation in verse 1 through 6. David is talking to himself. We found the first conversation with David speaking to himself, and unlike what we most often do, he doesn't begin his conversation by rehearsing his trouble. And y'all know we walk around rehearsing our trouble. How you doing? Well, I got this. No. David, don't start his conversation like that. David begins with what he knows about God. And since he is God's child, what he knows about himself. Verse 1, David invokes the name of the Lord. Y'all didn't hear me. David invokes the name of the Lord, and that in itself ought to cause us to shout. He said, David speaks to his heart, his mind, his soul. He says, self, let me remind you just who your God is. The Lord God, Jehovah, the one true and living God who is the self-existent one, the God who was and is and forever shall be. Self, your God is the creator and supreme maker and ruler, the sovereign almighty God who rules and reigns with all power and authority in his hand. He says, self, your God is the great God, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, who showed up to Moses in the desert declaring his name to be, I am that I am, everything you need. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who ain't never failed in not one word of one promise. The God whose love endures forever, who abounds in grace, compassionate, and tender mercy, new every morning, who is faithful to his word, and to his children. So as we march forth in 2024, we need to learn how to speak to ourselves just who our God is and who we are, because we're his children. David preaches over himself, not his trouble, but just who the Lord of his life is, the great and good shepherd who is watching over him and caring for him. It's a personal thing. We got to understand that, yeah, God's in heaven, but he's a very personal God who has come near his children, and it's personal. He uses the word my. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He's the stronghold of my life. Yeah, I know he's done it for all of y'all too, but I come to tell you that this God, this great God that he just described, he's my God. Somebody, I ain't gonna tell you to tell it to your neighbor. I'm gonna tell you, pretend that you're in the mirror and say to yourself, yeah, as I enter into 2024, he's my God. Hallelujah. He speaks to himself. He says in Pat Smith language, I got Jesus, and that's enough. Fear, you're not welcome here. Anybody had to stand in the mirror sometime in the throes of life and preach over yourself and declare, fear be gone, because I'm standing on the promises of God? Yea, Lord. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. When we walk in the light of the Lord and his word, when we abide in his spirit, we can trust God to guide our footsteps and empower us with strength for the journey on this side of glory. For it is God himself who is our defender and our battle axe, our savior in whom we are safe and secure. Yeah, we're safe in his arms. And since God is for me, who or what can be against me and when? Hallelujah. Now David is speaking his faith out loud, because Proverbs 18:21 teaches us that life and death is in the tongue. And speak life and you'll receive life. Speak death and fear and misery will take you under. You see, when David spoke life, the anointing of God took over. And as David chose to agree with God and speak life, he gave him power over his enemies. Look at verse 2. David doesn't deny the trouble. Ain't nobody telling you to deny your trouble. David doesn't deny the trouble, but instead of giving the trouble power, he chooses to acknowledge and declare the power of God over his enemies and his foes. He said, I know that they're advancing against me to devour my flesh. It indicates just how vicious the enemy can be, how the trials and trials of life can sometimes be brutal, be cruel, be fierce. But David says, they're coming to attack me, but my confession is sure and certain. My God will move according to his plan and his purpose and cause them to stumble and fall. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because see what David was doing. David was relying on a supernatural intervention. He knows this thing is greater than him. He doesn't even know how they're going to fall, but he is confident that they can't come against God and continue to stand. Yeah. The word teaches us. We teach it all the time in that class. The indwelling Christ in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord, we bless his name. He says, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. When you speak of an army, you speak of numbers. An army against one man. Have you ever experienced a time in life? Because, I mean, I want y'all to understand, our enemies ain't just walking on 2 feet, right? Yeah. The things that happen in life, and sickness is an enemy. Having a lot of bills and no money, that's an enemy. Having relationship problems within your family, that's an enemy, right? Yeah. So David says, he's speaking of an army. He's speaking of numbers. I'm saying, have you experienced a time when it just seems like there is just one thing after the other, after the other, after the other, and then they're all at one time? Oh, I know that it's right. I know that it happens. You look this way, and there goes this issue. Turn around, here goes this issue. You get that fixed, and one more is back. It's the ebb and flow of life. But David said, even though they're coming at me like that, and my heart will not fear. The King James Version say that though a host encamps against me, though the enemy surrounds me and comes at me from every direction and every side, David says, I'm confident that the host cannot harm me because the Lord of hosts is protecting me. Thank you, Lord. David says, I'm going to keep my eyes on God, believe his promise, watch for him to perform miracles and wonders, that no harm will come near my camp. He's promised that no weapon forged shall prosper. Yeah. I'm not going to accept that spirit of fear that the enemy is working hard to give me. And I refuse to fear because I know fear is not of God and that it has only come to steal my faith. Don't mean fear won't come, but you got to know what to do with it. David chose to walk in faith, and I'm speaking to everybody in here. Yeah, starting right here. We must ask God to strengthen us to do the same, to remain confident in his promises that in 2024, because I'm telling you, not just talk about our personal lives. We just look at the world events and there's mess everywhere, right? Much less our personal lives. There will be times that we don't even begin to understand what we're going through. But let's determine right now that even in the midst of it all, we will remain confident because the Lord has already told us not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. Yeah. And he, the one true and living God, will direct our path. Oh, yeah, Lord, we love you. And let's commit to walk by faith and not sight. Refuse to cast away our confidence in the Lord in Hebrews 10:35. Yeah, Pastor, I remember when you taught us that verse, hallelujah, and it's still with me. I ain't casting away my confidence in the God who saved me, that gave his only begotten son for me. Romans said, if he done all of that, what is it else is it that he would not do? Hallelujah. Yeah, I ain't casting away no confidence in my God. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So somebody in here ought to be shouting, amen, amen, amen. Oh, Lord, I believe you. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, Lord, I trust you. Amen. name of Jesus. Amen. In fact, David is so confident in his God, he says, I can't allow troubles to consume me. I ain't going to spend my life focused on trouble when I am in intimate, personal love relationship with the one who's greater than trouble. Yeah. So he sums it all up in verse 4. He said, there's one thing, I got all this trouble. Oh, man, the word is just sweet. I'm sorry. I'm just getting happy up here. He said, I got all this trouble going on in verse 4. He says, in the midst of all that trouble, there's just one thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Yeah. Oh, we're the temple of God right now. In David's day, they had to go to the temple. But hey, we're the temple of God. Jesus lives in us, hallelujah, so that I might seek him. David sums up his life not by his trouble, but by his relationship with his God. The primary thing in David's life, the single most important factor, was to live in God's presence and for his purposes. He declares that the primary thing that he's seeking for is to behold God's majestic holiness, to see his awesome glory, to behold his powerful wonders, to dwell, to live in his presence, not just for an hour, not just for a day, but continuously all the days of my life. He said, that's what I'm really longing for. Hallelujah. Don't you know that when you live like that, no matter what the trouble is, because we've already established trouble going to come, but we know that there's something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name. We know he'll keep us. David acknowledges that the Lord's presence is his real security in troubled times. Proverbs 18:10 says that the name of the Lord is a high tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. There is divine protection when we're truly living in Christ. When we live surrendered and submitted lives to him in that intimate relationship. When we are worshipers in the hall of life. And not just on Sunday, we come here to worship. All of life is to be lived out in worship, no matter what it is we're doing. I'm washing dishes. I can set myself aside to the Lord, wash that dish, and worship him all the while. Yeah. Even when I'm watching the football games we'll watch this evening, I keep a part of me aside to the Lord. I'm going to worship him even through the football game. Yeah. Because he's worthy of it. The awesome, gracious presence of God, his glorious power, his sure and certain promises, his readiness to hear our prayers. He's attentive to the prayers of the righteous. He even intercedes in our prayers. The witness of God's spirit in our hearts, the hearts of his people, is the greatest hiding place that a person can run to and find refuge. So let's commit that in 2024 that we're going to be running into the presence of Jesus, into his name and into his character as our hiding place and refuge. Yeah. We're going to thank God that I got a sister girlfriend, and I'm going to thank God for the guys at the gym. I'm going to be thankful that he gave us phones and that he gave us the internet. But this year, let's join David in running to the Lord. He's the only hiding place that is secure. He's a solid rock upon which you and I can stand. All other ground is seeking sand. Yeah, I know my sister girl loves me, but she ain't God. Hallelujah. I'm going to run into God. We see this in verse 6 as David declares, then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. He is confident that not only will he be protected, but he'll be exalted. He believes that the Lord will set him on high. And as Psalm 23 says, that the Lord will prepare a table for him in the presence of his enemies. Amen. Oh yeah, won't God do it? David promises God, he says, and when you do it, I'm going to glorify your great and awesome name. I ain't going to be sitting on my praise. I'm going to sacrifice to you shouts of joy. I'm going to sing and make music to you, oh Lord. I ain't got no need of the world's music, because my music is reserved for the Lord. Amen. I'm going to sing praises of the Most High God who brought me out. You know, the Spirit of the Lord enabled David, will enable us to envision the awesome hand of God before he ever manifested it on earth, before he ever manifested it in the natural. David could see his victory coming. He's calling those things that are not as though they are, believing by faith that they shall be according to the word of God. I can hear him singing in advance. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? He kept my enemies away. He gave me sunshine on a cloudy day. And then he rocked me in the cradle of his arms when he knew that I'd been battered and scorned. Yeah, Lord, if it had not been for you who was on my side, where would I be? So Psalm 27 shows us David's response to trouble. One, he preaches the word. He preaches truth to himself. Two, his second conversation takes place in verses 7 through 12. Don't y'all get scared. We ain't going to go through all of them. But David talks to God about his trouble. You know, and for me, I hate to say, well, you know, because I believe in prayer. I say, pray quick, pray. But you know what? It's the talking, all that I said before, but what he says about the Lord that tells him, you got to pray. Right? Otherwise, we just think we can fix it. We can't fix it. So it's good sometimes to just be still and steady yourself in the presence of the Lord. Then pray. So David's second conversation takes place in verses 7 through 12. He's talking to God about his trouble. Y'all know that's called prayer. We don't have time to go through the verses, like I said, but please know, Jesus instructs us in Luke 18:1. That man ought always to pray. Ain't got to wait for the trouble. We'll be praying right now. Oh, thank you, Lord. I know it's right. Man ought to always be praying. What a wonderful, beautiful grace God has given us in this great privilege of prayer. That we can actually approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Hey, Staggers, that word confident again. Don't you know, the enemy come to tell you, oh, you only talk to the Lord about that. Lord ain't trying to hear from you, right? Because after all, you. No. We can approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16. Faith and prayer walk hand in hand. So we see David doing in the second half, in his second conversation, the second half of Eliphaz's statement. He, Eliphaz said, yeah, you know, life come with trouble. But he said, but if it were I would appeal to God. I would lay my cause before him. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. Yes, the Lord is able to do, church, exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. Hallelujah. In verse 7, David does just that. He lays his cause before the Lord. He said, hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. Now, you know, ask for what's mercy, right? Mercy is the giving of what we don't deserve. Not giving us what we do deserve. I'm sorry. Not giving us what we do deserve. See, David didn't go in thinking, I'm all that. Lord, you best do it. No. He said, Lord, you know what? I'm just not perfect. So I need your mercy. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says, if you seek his face, your face, Lord, will I see. When we look at this passage, we hear David ask God not to turn his face or turn away in anger, not to forsake or reject him, not to turn him over to his foes and false witnesses. The scripture doesn't tell us, but I believe that David prays those type things because the enemy does his job. I believe that the enemy been next to David telling him stuff like with his lies, his accusations, and his deceit. And what we see is David casting the lies of the enemy on God our Father. And God invites us to do that because he cares for us. When David casts the lies to God, it enables the Spirit of God to speak truth to him about every lie. I believe the enemy been in David's ear telling him things like, the Lord's angry with you. He done turned his face from you. The Lord has rejected and forsaken you. He doesn't love you anymore. Everyone has forsaken you, in fact, even your mother and father. And you know, it is good to share our thoughts with God. Because you see, the very fact that David is before God talking this kind of language means that he took in what the enemy said, right? But when we come in honesty, God don't get angry, but rather he speaks to us with tender love and care and help us to move from our stinking thinking to truth. The Lord reminds David in these verses that he had been his helper. In the past, I'm your helper right now. He assures David that I'm your God and Savior. And if anyone else walks out on you, you can know this for sure. I'm your God. I'm not walking out on you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, I'll receive you unto myself. Hallelujah. So when it's all said and done through prayer and the word, David is able to maintain his confidence. He says, even then will I be confident in my God, in spite of evil men, in spite of enemies, in spite of foes, demons, and Satan himself. Even then will I be confident. And he responds by asking the Lord, teach me your ways. Lead me in the straight path, because all the ways of the Lord are perfect. He says, your word is my safety zone, the place of blessing, the straight path that allows me to walk in victory no matter what comes my way. Amen. It remains true, my beloved brothers and sisters. It is by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God that we're able to remain confident in God when trouble comes. Confident so fear is cast down. Confident so we walk in victory. Confident so we live for God's glory as shining lights. This confidence so we can walk through this world being his aroma to a dying and decaying world. So this pattern we see in Psalm 27 is 1, David preaching to himself. 2, David having a little talk with Jesus, but the Lord, having a little talk with the Lord. We're going to have a little talk with Jesus. And lastly, we see David speaking to himself once again. You see, our time communing with our Father bears the fruit of strength and courage, no matter the trouble. It enables us to continue sojourning down here, confident that none other compares to our God, and he holds us in his hands. We're able to know that we know that we know that we are able to look every enemy in the eye with full assurance and declare, you can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him. Because I know too much about him. He's the God whose love endures forever. That yes, he is Emmanuel. God is with us always in every aspect of life. The good, the bad, the ugly. And that he works all things for the good of those who love him and been called according to his purpose. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Time alone with God, dwelling in his presence, soaking in the beauty of his holiness and his majesty allows us to realize and experience his wonderful, beautiful grace and power that gives us courage to wait on him, to hold to his unchanging hand as he holds to us. And I know y'all tired and y'all ready to go, but I just got to say, I'm so glad that God is holding on to us. It is that time that allows us to press on in Jesus' name with no matter what faith, because we know that our God is the good, good Father, and we shall see his goodness in the land of the living. As the old song says, he may not come when you want him, but our God is always right on time according to his ways, his plans, and his purposes. For his name's sake and for the glory of his great names, we ought to humble ourselves and bow before him, surrendered, submitted, and we find ourselves so satisfied with our Savior. The song says, surely he means more than anything to me. So y'all gonna be happy I'm closing. As God has graced us to enter into 2024, I really didn't stand here to say that we all need a one word, but I am saying that we all need to cling to Jesus, being confident that he's our God and that his grace is sufficient for every need, that his power is made perfect in all of our weaknesses. Amen. So let's use Psalm 27 and all his word to help us abide in his spirit, to keep on moving in the work that he has called and assigned us to do. For God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us the spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's commit to following the pattern God has shown us in Psalm 27, speaking the word over ourselves, who our God is and who we are in Christ Jesus, communing with God, praying to him, dwelling in his presence, soaking in his holiness, praying always, talking life out with him, remaining confident. Even in this, I remain confident that our God is with us as we sojourn down here. We will see his goodness in the land of the living. So let's be strong and courageous as we wait for Christ's return with our hands to the plow, with our eyes of our heart and minds fixed on Jesus. Trust in our Lord and Savior, because he's the one that is our way maker. He's the one that is the miracle worker. He's the one who is a promise keeper. He is light in the darkness. We're going to trust him alone to be our joy, be our peace, be our hope. And we're going to believe just like David penned. Surely, somebody say surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'm going to glorify his name. Hallelujah. Blessed is the name of the Lord. That's the word of God for the people of God on the first Sunday in the new year. Even in this, I shall be confident. Because my God is faithful to his word and faithful to his children. Amen. Amen. So let me just ask right now, do you know this one named Jesus? The one that God the Father sent because we were in need of a Savior. Our sin separated us from him, when in fact he created us for relationship with him. He created us for his glory. But Romans tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That right there is enough evidence that we need to know Jesus. He stands today in the midst of his word saying, won't you come? Won't you come and surrender and say, hey, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I've come to realize I can't work myself out of this. That there is only one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, won't you come right now? Oh, he loves you. The song says, oh, how he loves you and me. Won't you come? His arms are outstretched, saying, come, come. He's drawing man unto himself even now. Oh, won't you come? And then may I say that if you are saved and you're in need of a church home, and you've been in prayer, and God has shown you that the Spirit of Unity Baptist Church is to be your church home, we invite you to come right now as well. Yeah, we say we ain't perfect, but we love God. And we promise that we will be a nurturing, loving family for you. We all need it. We need it all the days of our lives. We're going to need that family till God calls us home. Won't you come? And then maybe, may I say, that a message like this brings big conviction. Because we have had trouble getting in our way many a time. That we are walking more focused on the things of the earth than God and his kingdom and his kingdom of gender. If you're in need of prayer this morning, to ask God to help you fix your eyes on Jesus. Maybe this morning there is danger all about you. You got your eyes on Jesus. You just want to come pray and say, Lord, I'm just like Eliphaz. I'm looking to you to perform miracles, signs, and wonders because there's trouble all about. Why don't you just bow your head and we'll just whisper a quick prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you. We're so thankful that you're our God, that you drew us unto yourself, that we can humble ourselves right now and know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that in him is everything we need, that he loves us, that his grace is sufficient, that he invited us to come to the throne of grace and find mercy so we can have grace and peace and rest. We come to do that right now. I ask, Father, that under the sound of my voice, that each of us, one by one, would just call to our minds and our hearts the issues of life, the troubles of life. And Father, we in unity cast them to you because you have promised that you care for us. You are our strength. You are our Redeemer. You are our Deliverer. You are our Healer. You, Lord, you are all we need. Your power made perfect in our weakness. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, be powerful all up in our lives, that we would be faithful to you, that we wouldn't be walking around in the spirit of fear, unable to keep the assignment you gave us to be witnesses to a dark and dying world of the living Christ. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh and help us to abide right there. Let your word quicken us as we walk as the new creations you called us to be, giving glory to your holy name. And as you do it, we're going to be just like David. We're going to give shouts of praise and honor and glory. We're going to sing your song, Lord, because you're worthy of our praise. It is in Jesus' great name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated as Deacon Morgan leads us in communion.